Oh, I'm on. There I am. All right. 8:45, how we doing? Great. Good to see you. We are going to continue in our series, Journey to Know and Follow. And I hope you follow along in your Bibles. Handle with care. That's what we're going to talk about today. Handle with care. In another life, I worked for UPS. UPSers out there, anybody? None. FedEx people, Amazon people. Teamsters Local 229, Dunmore, Pennsylvania, baby. I was a package handler. That was my title, package handler. And along the, and you're like, when was that, Fry? When they had horse and wagons? No, I'm not that old. But along the way, I became the hazardous material handler for the building I worked in. Imagine putting your life on the line with toxic chemicals and Matt Fry is the only thing between you and death, right? And I'm old enough that back then, the training they gave me was not on a computer because they didn't have computers, almost horse and buggy. I just remember they sent me through this training, and the reason I did is because I got money, of course. But then they gave me a binder. I had this big binder, 3-ring binder. And I had that where I was working, and if something went haywire, like, hey, there's a spill over on wing 4. Call Fry, hazardous material handler. And I get my binder and go over there and leaf through my pages like, oh, you know, slowly the concrete's being eaten away. It's like, here's what we do. Pour some water on that. Everything will be all right. It was important that we handled chemicals that spilled appropriately. With care, there was protocols to follow. You know what I'm talking about. Even if you didn't spend your time as a material handler in another life like I did. Handle with care. I wanna talk today, we're gonna talk about the Word of God today. And we began this series back in April, May, with a sermon on the authority of God's Word. So if God's Word is our authority, today we wanna talk about, all right, what is it about studying God's word that should motivate us and move us? How do we get into it? And I wanna lay out that challenge for you today. How do we handle it? Think about handle with care. I wanna talk about that with God's word. I wanna compare a couple verses. We're gonna settle down in Psalm 19. So if you wanna turn there, go ahead. Psalm 19. Hebrews 4:12 says this about the Bible though. The word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword. That's interesting. Metaphor there is God's word is like a sword, double-edged sword. It penetrates as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Compare that to 2 Timothy 2:15. This is from the English Standard Version. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling. Any Awana people love this verse? You do, if you remember. If you know, you know. Rightly handling the word of truth. King James Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word, it's on the screen, good. The word there, rightly handling, the prefix in the Greek word is the prefix ortho. Sound like anything? Orthodontist. Orthopedic. That in the original language, that phrase rightly handling means to cut something straight. So think less your toddler with scissors and more an orthodontist. Someone who makes things straight. Handle God's word with care. It's like a double-edged sword. It has to be handled rightly. So Hebrews 4:12, look at this. I want to compare these. The Bible is like a small sword or dagger. This is the meaning behind the word two-edged sword. It emphasizes precision and closeness. It's not your giant sword. It's your dagger for precision. It's double-edged. It cuts both ways. It's fully effective. God's word here, double-edged sword is a metaphor for sharpness and the extent of God's word. It reaches the deepest part of a person. It exposes what's inside. Rightly dividing, go to the next one. This is what we read in 2 Timothy. This means to cut straight. It has to do with accuracy and careful handling of God's word, teaching with and interpreting it with precision, with faithfulness, skillfulness. No one wants a sloppy orthodontist, right? Get them straight with faithfulness, skillfulness. Only here in the Bible does that phrase, rightly dividing, appear. So we get this idea that with God's word, we want to handle it with care. I want us to consider together today, hopefully you're in Psalm 19, the way we handle the word of God. We handle it with care. I don't want that to scare you away like, oh, God's word's like a hazardous chemical. That's not what I mean. But we want to handle God's word with care because it's a two-edged sword. It has to be divided rightly. If it's going to have an impact on me and if it's going to have an impact on others. Is God's word that important to you? I don't want to scare us away, but I want to compel us to come. Isaiah 12:3 says, come and draw water from the springs of salvation. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for us in the word of God, to come and draw water from the springs of salvation. That's God's word for us. So I want to consider several ways we do that, how we handle it with care. Psalm 19, I hope you're there. I think we have this on the screen. I'm going to read in a minute. Let me talk about the Psalms. The Psalms are the songbook or the prayer book of God's people. It's a collection of poems that give voice to worship and struggle and longing for God. Psalm 19, in particular, where we're going to read, this is a celebration of how God reveals himself. And if you look at Psalm verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Anybody see the two rainbows last night? You weren't sleeping on me. Good. Heavens declare the glory of God. So the psalmist talks about this general revelation of God. But then when we get to verse 7, which is part of the text we're going to read, the psalmist talks more clearly about how God reveals himself in a special way through his word. So it's early in the Psalms, and it reminds us that true wisdom and joy and direction in life come when we pay careful attention to what God has spoken. We see God in those rainbows. We see him in the sun, the moon. It's beautiful. That's called general revelation. Anyone can see that. But then the psalmist drills down in beginning of verse 7 and says, we see God especially in his word to us. And that's what we want to consider. Psalm 19, I'm going to read 7 to 10. Psalm 19, 7, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from the honeycomb. The word of God to us. How do we handle the word of God with care? Several words, I think I have a graphic here. There's several words that the psalmist uses. And throughout the Psalms, I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but throughout the Psalms, there's 8 to 10 different words used in the Psalms. All of them, I think, are used in Psalm 119, which be glad I didn't read that. It's like 250,000 verses. But in Psalm 19, notice the words that are used to describe God's law, his word to us. Instruction and testimony and and precepts and commands and it's called the fear of God, which is an interesting one, and the ordinances of God. These are all used to describe God's word to us. In the text that we just read, and I want to think about how do we handle it the right way. And listen today, full disclosure, I want to talk more about the motivation of God's word and less about the methods. I'm not afraid to talk about methods. On our website, we have something called Know and Follow Library, and there you can find a ton of resources on Bible reading. We have the Daily Road, which is a simple way to read through the word of God. We use that at Keystone. On that website, you'll find things like the Bible Recap. Any Bible Recap fans? More than UPS workers. Excellent. Bible Recap, great tool that many of you use. Tara Lee Cobble. Man, setting the world on fire, taking you through the word of God in a year, all right? New City Catechism. Parents, anybody use that? None. All right, that's a good resource for your kids to get them into God's word. So this is not a sermon on resources. I'm a good resource guy. You want a resource? Come to me. But this is a sermon on motivation more than it is methods. And recently, I read this from a writer named Cassie Watson, and I really like what she said. She was talking about prayer, and the title of her article was this, You Don't Need Another Prayer Technique. And I would like to steal her article and just say this, you don't need another Bible study technique. Some of us sitting here like, Fry is gonna get me feeling guilty, I don't read the Bible. I need another technique. Let me download an app. She writes this, our culture values constant improvement and optimization. Advertisers sell us the lie that there's an app or a product to fix any problem or any minor inconvenience. We can collate endless lists of life hacks and game-changing advice. It's natural for us to see a problem, I don't read the Bible enough, and to seek an actionable solution. But here's the money quote. She says this, we neglect reading the Bible not because we don't have the ideal system in place, but because we really don't feel like we need it. Isn't that true? I mean, at the end of the day, the biggest problem I have reading the Bible is not that I need a better app. And if you want a better app, I'll get you one. I got them. But my problem is I'm really not motivated to think if I open up the Word of God, it's really going to make any difference in my life. I mean, I'd never say that. I'm a pastor. Might lose my job. But isn't that true in our hearts sometimes? It's not as much about the method as it is the motivation. So friends, along the way at Keystone, we'll teach you ways to study God's Word, how to use the daily road, push you toward Bible recap, lots of good resources on the Know and Follow library. But I want to talk a lot about motivation today. When you have the Word of God, that double-edged sword, and God calls you to divide it rightly, are you handling it with care? Are you handling it at all? It's a question in front of us. Don't neglect cultivating a heart that recognizes how much we need God's Word, even as you set up a system for regular Bible intake and value plans and use Bible study tools. All right? Handle with care. Four ways to handle God's Word. Four ways on a 4th of July weekend. Yes. Number one, you handle it with confident humility. Handle it with confident humility. And we're just going to clip through 7, 8, 9, 10. Each verse tells us a way to handle God's Word. Confident humility. You know what this means? You know God's Word to know His will. How many of you want to know God's will? Can you tell me, Fry? Yes, but it's complicated. Because to know God's, the best place to find God's will is to find God's Word, or is to read God's Word. And I know, here's how I am. I'm like, is there a quicker way? Sometimes. But very often, the will of God, which is something we all want, comes through how intent we are on handling the Word of God in our lives. Confident humility. We know God's Word to know His will. Look at 7. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. This is Hebrew poetry, and there's three kinds of Hebrew poetry. Antithetical, sometimes, this would be a whole Bible study for you. Sometimes poetry, Hebrew poetry, in one verse you'll have two opposites. This, but this. Sometimes it's called synthetic, and that kind of Hebrew poetry is the kind where the author says one thing, and then he doubles down and says it harder. Here, we have synonymous parallelism. So antithetical, synthetic, synonymous. The parallelism we have in Psalm 19:7 is synonymous. The psalmist reinforces the point. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life, and I'm gonna double down on it, he says. I'm gonna build on it. I'm gonna restate it. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Approach the Word of God, handle it with confident humility. Knowing God's Word means knowing God's will. Three words for you. Here's a question. Are you trying to maintain wisdom, gain wisdom, or explain wisdom? That's the way to think about this. God's Word, and you're like, all three. I know, me too. But in different seasons of life, one of these may speak to us stronger than the other. Ask yourself before the Spirit of God right now, God, what do I need? Do I need to maintain wisdom in my life? Do I need to gain some wisdom in my life? Or am I trying to explain some wisdom? Any parents out there trying to explain wisdom? Rainbow comes out last night. You're like, all right, kids, Bible lesson time. Man, confident humility in the Word of God will help you maintain wisdom. The law preserves the life. One writer says, the law preserves the life of the one who studies it by making known God's will. Those who know God's will know how to please Him and can avoid offending Him. It renews our life. Gaining wisdom. Notice the psalmist says it makes the inexperienced wise, the one who is young and still in the process of learning right from wrong and distinguishing wisdom from folly. Man, last week we had Pastor Randy mentioned it. We have folks step forward and say, you know what, baptism, I just didn't know, or I just haven't done it. Like, I didn't realize that this is something I need to do. Maintaining wisdom and gaining wisdom and explaining wisdom. This is Paul. This is Paul's protege. Two verses here in 2 Timothy. This is how he writes about his protege in the faith. Paul was Timothy's mentor. Notice what he says. Timothy, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois. Any grandmothers out there? In your mother Eunice. Any mothers out there? And now I am convinced it is in you also. Timothy's grandma and his mom, they explained the word of God to him. Paul goes on later in 2 Timothy 3, but as for you, continue what you learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, your mom and your grandma. And you know that from infancy, that's interesting, that you have known the sacred scriptures which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Infant there means a newborn, a young child, sometimes used for unborn children, even in the womb. It implies extreme youth. Highlighting that Timothy's exposure to scripture began at the earliest possible stage of life, potentially even as a toddler or infant. Parents, are you explaining the word of God to your children? Friend, if you're on the journey to know and follow Jesus, what do you need? Do you need to maintain wisdom? You need to jump into a connection group this fall and say, I need people around me to help me maintain the wisdom so that I can know the will of God. You need to gain some wisdom. Do you say, hey, you know what? The Bible is just not, I don't handle it. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, talking about confident humility. Notice what it says here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting your cares on him because he cares for you. Which would you rather do, humble yourself or cast your cares on God? I'd rather cast my cares on God. I love that verse. I mean, I could get a t-shirt that says that. Cast your cares on, it talks about fishing, first of all. I love it. But you know something? In the construct of that verse, the word casting flows out of humility. Casting our cares is not a different command. It's not like, well, humble yourself if you want or cast your cares on God if you want. That's not how it's constructed. In that verse, casting your care is a way of applying the main command, which is to humble ourselves. Friends, listen, every day we wake up on the journey to know and follow Jesus, it should be this: God, I want to meet you with confident humility in your word so that the word of God can show me the will of God. Is that how you're handling God's word? Confident humility, maintaining, gaining, explaining. Number two is verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. You got sadness problems? You got sight problems? God's word has the answers. Joyful expectation. Approach God's word with anticipation. Approach it with anticipation. Notice, it causes gladness. Do you see that? In verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. That word, making the heart glad. Oh, they're just a happy person. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. But here's what God is saying about his word. Here's what the psalmist is saying about the word of God. It is a proactive agent in bringing about gladness in your life. And I'm not talking about some kind of silly, shallow, happy. I'm talking about the depth of joy in your life. It makes a heart glad. Friend, do you handle the word of God with enough care to say, I want to find joy in your word, God? That's what the psalmist is talking about. A commitment to the word of God is a commitment that might cause gladness. You ever take those pills? You can take it, but it might cause 60 things in your life that you don't want. The word of God, when you get into it, it is the thing that the Spirit of God uses to bring us joy and gladness. It causes it. Do you go into your Bible study to say, God, make me joyful? He'll meet you in that. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but with a consistent handling of God's word the right way, the word of God brings joy. Brings joy. Causes gladness. My undergrad is in Bible and theology. Duh, I'm a pastor. I had a professor who taught me theology. His name was Mr. McGrew. How about that? And I like to call this the Mr. McGrew new law. Because here was Mr. McGrew's favorite verses were in Habakkuk 3. Doesn't that sound like a theologian? His favorite verses would be in Habakkuk. This is Habakkuk 3. It's a part of it's on the screen. This verse says this, though the fig tree does not bud, Mr. McGrew's with the Lord. God bless him. He taught me a lot about the Bible. Though the fig tree does not bud and there's no fruit on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stall. In other words, even if everything's gone, notice, this is on screen, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on the heights of a mountain. Friend, listen, that's the gladness and the joy that God's word brings to you. It is a deep-seated joy when everything else is gone. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I say, God, that's what I want when I read the Bible. I don't want just another little pithy, oh, isn't that great? Yeah. Take me deeper into joy, God. Make me joyful through your word. Can I tell you how to do this practically? I'm running out of time. This is in my little prayer thing. Psalm 94:19. You can take this verse. I won't charge you if you want to use this one. Find a verse like this and use it this year. Here's my verse, Psalm 94:19. When I am filled with cares, your comfort brings me joy. That's my verse, Psalm 94:19. I pray that every day. God, when I am filled with cares. Anybody here filled with cares? When I'm filled with cares, your comfort brings me joy. I just soak that verse in. I say it over and over. And I say, God, I want you to bring me joy in your word. It causes joy, causes gladness. It also causes clarity. See that? It causes clarity. It makes your eyes light up. God's commands don't just tell us what to do. They open our eyes to truth and reality in God's ways. Proverbs says, bright eyes cheer the heart, good news strengthens the bones. Proverbs 9:10, look what it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Maybe you're here and it's not a sadness problem you have, it's a sight problem you have. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I need clarity, God. Anybody need clarity in their life? God's word doesn't just make us glad, it makes our eyes light up. It makes us say, oh. Friend, who helps you see spiritually? Huh? Who in your life takes you, drives you to the word of God so you can see with spirit? Ephesians 1:18 says that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Who helps you see with the eyes of your heart? Who's a person in your life? Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad? Who's that person that takes you to the word of God to say, spiritual eyes, see with clarity. This is what God's word says. Parents, you doing that with your kids? Hey, teenagers, can I talk to you a minute? Because you're in a season of life where it's easy to rebel against mom and dad, right? I was there. I know. I was a teenager once. Horse and wagon days, I know. But you know what? That's the easiest time in the world. Say, I don't want to listen to mom and dad. Well, hey, teenager, listen, I want to caution you with the love of a grandpa here. If your mom and dad are trying to speak with spiritual eyes into your life to say, I want you to see with clarity what God's word says, you should listen to them now, okay? 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I remember what it was like to be that. Big world to discover technology everywhere. I understand. But if you have a mom and dad that are trying their best to speak the word of God into your life and say, here is clarity, follow this, you should listen to them. It's important. God's word makes us joyful. God's word causes clarity. We went to Adventureland this week. I got family in town, kids. Adventureland, anybody? Yeah, okay. It's been a long weekend, I understand. I had not been. I loved it. Good job, Iowa. Good job. Loved it. But you know what? When you go into Adventureland, you have to be so many inches to ride a ride. You know that? But imagine if you could go in and just pick like what size you want to be. Like I was thinking about that. There's a lot of dads who'd be like, my six-month-old, he's ready for that wooden roller coaster, right? Like, gotta toughen him up. That's not how it works. They got a benchmark. It's like 42 inches. And they got people carrying sticks around that are 42 inches long. Or when you go up to the ride, if you got a little one, because we have little ones with us, and you, they got a thing you stand against, and there's a line there, right? And if your kid's like, oh, I know he's under 42 inches, but he really feels like he's 42 inches, so can he go? They don't change the rules. They help you see what 42 inches is with that stick or with that line. Friend, who helps you see with spiritual eyes? Don't make it up in your life. Don't make up clarity. We are people of the book. God's word has authority. When was the last time you went into God's word and said, hey, God, I have a sight problem. I want to see with clarity. When was the last time you went to someone and said, what do you think God thinks about this? When was the last time you told them that? God's word, it causes gladness and it causes clarity. I love this verse. Parents, think about this verse. I love this verse. Whenever you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Kids, if your parents are trying their hardest out of the word of God, that's what they're telling you. Walk this way. Yes, go in this way. This is the way. That's God's word. It takes care of sadness and it causes sight. It causes clarity. God-fearing faith. That's the third thing. Two more. God-fearing faith. How do you handle God's word with a God-fearing faith? I love this statement. Reverence is a refuge. Reverence for God is a refuge. What do you revere? What's your shelter? Reverence is a refuge. The Bible in verse 9 is called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is pure. Enduring forever, the ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. Fear of the Lord rarely refers to actually being afraid of God. Sometimes it does. I love this verse, Psalm 76, 7. And you are to be feared. When you are angry, who can stand before you? Some of us need to hear that verse. You should fear God. But here it doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means reverence to God. God-fearing faith, because reverence is a refuge. Two ways God-fearing faith is a refuge, in his presence and his guidance. It helps us when we're stationary and it helps us when we're moving. It's a refuge I'm in and it's a refuge I take with me. Reverence is a refuge. Reverence for God is a reference. What do you revere? What do you have reverence for in your life? Psalm 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence and his children have a refuge. Man, mom and dad, what a verse. You know what I want for my kids and my grandkids? A refuge in the Lord. Listen, God's word is, it's the fear of the Lord. In presence, fear of the Lord will not only provide security for parents, one writer says, but will also be a refuge for children. Proverbs 19, 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. One will sleep at night without danger. What a beautiful picture of the reverence of the Lord. Reverence is a refuge, not only in presence, but in guidance. Psalm 25, 12 to 14. Who is the person who fears the Lord? He will show him the way. He will show him the way he should choose. He will live a good life and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him and he reveals his covenant to them. Mom and dad, teach kids. Reverence is a refuge. Young person here, as you embark in the work world, in the academic world, run to the fear of the Lord in his word. It's a refuge. Handle it with the fear of the Lord. Reverence of God is a refuge in his presence. We're safe. In his guidance, he'll lead us. Fear of the Lord. Last one, it's handle it with disciplined desire. There is a value in the investment. Verse 10, the words of God, they are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and they are sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. Handle God's word with disciplined desire. Those two words are important. There is value in the investment we make in the word of God. Disciplined desire, it's treasured and sweet. Do you see that? It's treasured and sweet. It's treasured. I love what Matthew 13, 44 says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and he buys the field. This guy has everything he needs, but he found a treasure in a field that's much greater than what he has. And people think he's crazy. He takes everything to Goodwill and says, I don't need any of it. Because he knows the treasure that's in the field is greater than anything he could own. God's word is a disciplined desire. There's value in the investment. It's like pure gold. It's sweeter than honey. We sing a song here out of Psalm 81:16. I would satisfy you with honey from the rock. You know that song? One writer says that possibly this meant honey that came from a beehive that was built in a rocky crevice or crag, but it also parallels the idea of water from a rock. Normally, neither water or honey would come from a rock, but these show that God provides extraordinarily for his people. So when the psalmist, and honey is throughout the Old Testament, like sweeter than honey. It's an acquired taste. Maybe you're not a honey person, but the metaphor works. The psalmist says it's greater than the purity of gold. It's sweeter than honey. Jolynn and I, a couple weeks ago, were up to see my sister and her daughter, my niece, getting married to a guy. He's a beekeeper. You think your job is interesting? It's not. I mean, it's 500 beehives he has. Unbelievable. Bees everywhere. And he gave me a little picture. Him and my niece gave us a little picture into what it takes to get honey out of a beehive. Do you know how hard that is? I mean, being a preacher is so much easier. It is labor intensive. And you know what we miss sometime in this? Here's what I said. It's a disciplined desire. If you want to get from God's word what you need to get, it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline. To get gold, it takes hard work. To get honey, it takes hard work. But the product is worth it. It's worth the investment. It's a treasure to be desired. It's a disciplined desire. I'll do whatever it takes to get that honey because the taste of it is so sweet. That gold is so valuable. I'll do whatever it takes to get that gold. Friend, is that the kind of disciplined desire you have for the word of God in your life? It's treasured and it's sweet and it should be sown in every season. It should be sown in every season. Keystone, brother and sister, on the journey to know and follow Jesus, are you like the sower with the seed, taking the word of God and sowing it, even though sometimes it falls on what looks like good ground, but is hard ground. Or if it falls on ground that you thought would never produce and it does produce. It's sweet and it's treasured and it's sown in every season. Handle it with care. Preach the word, Paul writes, be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear whatever they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of the ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The word of God, handled with care, is a disciplined desire that is treasured and sweet and is to be sown in every season. God says, my word that comes from my mouth, this is Isaiah, my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. You handling the word of God with care, friend? It's a double-edged sword. It is to be rightly divided in your life. How are you handling that? Do you need to maintain or gain or explain God's word? Parents, maybe it's time. Dad, maybe it's time to gather the family tonight and say, you know what? I'm not very good at this, but we're going to find a verse and we're going to read it together and see what God does. Friend, maybe it is time for that Bible app. Maybe it's time to look up the Know and Follow library and say, I'm going to jump onto this Bible app. And To the degree that I can discipline myself, I'm going to get into the word of God. What do you need to do today to handle God's word? Maintaining wisdom, gaining wisdom, explaining wisdom. You approach God's word with anticipation, friends. It causes joy. It causes clarity. You surrounded with people that help you see with spiritual eyes. Hey, what should I do? Well, let's see what God says about that. Are those the kind of people you have in your life? Reverence is a refuge. What do you revere, friend? What's your shelter? My shelter's my money. My shelter's that girl. My shelter's this job. My shelter, as long as I have that. Here's a refuge, the fear of God. Reverence of God is a refuge. Friend, maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I've never read the Bible really because I really don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know anything about Jesus. Reverence to God is a refuge and it begins in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here and you don't know him, that's the place to start today. That we could open the pages of God's word and show you what Jesus Christ has done for you to become the refuge for your life. Handle with care. What difference is God's word making in your life? Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is more pure than gold, that it is sweeter than honey. And we want to be people of the book at Keystone Church. It has authority in our lives. Help us in connection groups to surround one another with the book and say, what does God say about this? Lord, help us to be those people. I pray if there's one here whose refuge is something other than reverence for God, that they would run to the cross of Jesus Christ, where you have given us a place. And so, Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to grow in it, we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen.